Amen, amen, amen.
Sound man is ready. Praise the Lord. Hymn 60, folks. Let's stand for our final hymn this morning. And another great, great old hymn of the faith. Love the words. Because this is what we need in our daily lives, to be led by our great shepherd. Amen. I'm glad that he's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Wow. What a blessing to know him and to be led by his holy hand. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth of hymn 60, folks. Amen. Sing it to the Lord.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our youth, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us thine, we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. On the fourth, early let us sing thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Amen. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us,
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, folks. Glory to God. Great singing this morning. And how precious are the words of this great hymn of the faith. I'm so glad with thy love our bosoms fill. Doesn't he do that each and every day? You feel the love of the Lord in your life. That's what makes us different from the world. We have the love of the Lord resting upon us. Amen. And it's a beautiful thing. Indeed. Well, we'll sing again after the message this morning, but let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. Anybody need a Bible? We have, oh great, right here, somebody grab him a pew Bible. Yeah, amen, brother. Oh yes, we always have spare Bibles. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Chapter number 1, sorry. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And I have a message this morning that the Lord laid on my heart this week to bring. That the Holy Spirit, have you ever had the Holy Spirit just really quicken a truth to your heart? And you know that the Lord is speaking to you concerning that particular truth from His Word. And He is cementing, spiritually supergluing that truth into your spirit. You know what I'm talking about? It's when you get a word from the Lord, from His holy word, and it just becomes enlightened. It just becomes so real and true to you. That's what happened to me this week. And it concerns the knowledge of God. Amen. The knowledge of God is contained in this holy book right here, the King James Bible. It's the knowledge of God, the Word of God. Amen. And this book, beloved, listen carefully, because this book, I'm going to say it over and over and over till I drill it into you. The Bible, the knowledge of God, is your victory. The sword of the Spirit is what you and I need to live this Christian life. Amen? It's got a power source, not of this world. It's of divine origin. I'm so glad that through this divine knowledge of God, we have victory over the devil. Victory over the flesh. Victory over the world. Victory over sin. It's through this knowledge of God. Look with me here in 2 Peter chapter number 1. We won't be long this morning, but I do have a message to preach. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. We'll pick it up in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Using verse 4 as my text this morning, beloved, I want to bring a message I've entitled Great and Precious Promises. Great and Precious Promises. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Lord, how we thank you that through the knowledge of God, we are made partakers of the divine nature of the Almighty. Through the knowledge of God, we are made alive in Christ Jesus by the Spirit of God. Father, we're thankful that through the knowledge of God, we have victory in our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for the glory of this power, the knowledge of God. Lord, if there's one thing this world needs today, it's the knowledge of God. Only through the knowledge of God can we escape the wrath that is to come. Only through the knowledge of God can we live the Christian life in a spirit-filled state, O God. And only through the knowledge of God can we overcome that old devil. And Lord, we thank you that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given unto us by the knowledge of God. Bless your word today, Lord, as we look at these exceeding great and precious promises in Jesus' holy name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Glory to God. If you've been saved for any amount of time at all, beloved, you've been studying the Bible and seeing and learning what God says in His Word, then you have probably become aware of the fact that God's holy Word, the Bible, is a book of great and precious promises to you and me. Remember when you were dating your husband or wife? Guys and gals, remember you made all those sweet promises? I love you forever. Oh, I'll always open the door for you, honey, in the car. You know, you made all those promises because you were in love, right? Well, what happened? What happened to those promises? Some of them slip, don't they? Well, I'm so glad this morning that the promises of God never slip. I'm so glad that the promises of God are forever. I'm so glad that when God promises you something, He will follow through. Amen? God is true. Now listen, that's what God has done, beloved. He has promised to always love us unconditionally. He promises He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promises to be there for us no matter what we're going through. We've got exceeding great and precious promises, church. I want to encourage you this morning. And I want to give you three things from my text in verse number 4. First, I want you to notice that these promises are exceedingly great and precious. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. Whereby, by the knowledge of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're not just great and precious promises. They're exceeding great and precious promises. Amen? That word exceeding, it means to superabound, to excel or surpass all others. That means God's promises surpass and excel all other promises. I'm so glad of that this morning. I'm so glad that this whole holy book is so full of promises from my Savior that I can bank my eternal soul upon them. Amen? It's the promises of God to you and I. They're exceeding great. They're exceeding precious. They're exceeding wonderful. And they're exceeding trustworthy. Amen? Now, five ways I see that these promises are exceedingly great and precious. First, listen, these promises offer an exceeding pardon for sin. Amen? These promises of God offer to all mankind an exceeding, that's a superabounding pardon for sin. Go with me to Isaiah. Hold your place. We're coming back to 2 Peter. Isaiah. And go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. A familiar passage to all of us. In Isaiah chapter number 1. Watch what the prophet says here by the Holy Ghost concerning a promise of God, an exceeding great promise. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 1 and look at verse 18 and keep in mind that God is speaking in verse 18. He says, come now, and this is the Lord, amen? The Lord says to you and I, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Notice the promise here. God says, though your sins are so ugly and so dark and so numerous, I want you to know that I'm going to wash them away, making them white as snow. It's an exceedingly great promise. Amen. To anyone who will accept Jesus Christ, he says, I will wash your sins away in my precious blood and make you white as snow. I'm so glad that my sins are gone, forgiven, washed away in his blood. Why? He promised to do it. He promised to do it. To anyone who will receive this promise, he promises to do it. It's a great promise indeed. He promises to forgive all of our sins, past, present, and future, through the blood of his cross. Something else, though, concerning the greatness of these promises. These promises are great, exceedingly great, because these promises offer an exceeding grace for strength. An exceeding grace for strength. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And realize today, beloved, that you need strength. If you want to get through a day in your Christian life, you need strength. Because you have a real enemy, you have a real flesh to contend with in a real world. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. He offers an exceeding grace for strength. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse number 8. And God, he points you to the source of all grace. And God is able to make all what? Grace abound toward you. I like it. That's that word, abound, superabound. Why? That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. It's a promise of God. Amen? Look at verse 14. Verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Paul says it's exceeding grace. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His gift of an exceeding grace. I love the fact that I can depend upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in my daily life. I love the fact that I can face this world with confidence that my God is with me. I can face any trial. I can overcome the devil. I can overcome sin because of the grace of God in me. Amen? It's an exceeding grace. But thirdly, something else concerning these exceeding great and precious promises. They're great because these promises offer an exceeding intimacy with God. They offer an exceeding intimacy with God. Back to 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter number 6 this time. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I like this part because his promises offer me a personal intimacy with my Savior. I don't know about you, but I love spending time with Jesus. I want to be like John, lean my head on his bosom and hear his heartbeat. Amen? Glory to God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell where?
In them
and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Glory to God. I see an exceeding intimacy here in verse 16, but drop down to verse 18. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God says, I'm your father. He says, when you got a problem, come to me as your daddy, and I'll take care of it. You know what I see here, beloved? I see an exceeding intimacy. I see an intimacy here that surpasses all other intimacies. All earthly relationships pale in comparison to this intimacy, because this one's divine. This one's eternal. This one's forever. This one's between you and him. Amen? It's downright personal, and it's intimate, exceedingly intimate. Fourthly, why are these promises exceedingly great and precious? Because these promises offer an exceeding happiness throughout all eternity. They offer an exceeding happiness. If you're still in 2 Corinthians, go back to chapter 4. Oh, I like this. An exceeding happiness is mine because of Jesus Christ. He promised it. Look at me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Paul writes, and Paul did some suffering for the Lord. He writes, for our light affliction, Paul was incarcerated again, and he says, it's a light affliction, nothing to complain about. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more what?
Exceeding
and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says, I want you to know something, beloved. There is an exceeding eternal happiness for you and me in Jesus Christ. It's not of this temporal world. It's eternal. It'll last forever. Oh, I'm so glad that his promises offer me an exceeding happiness throughout all of eternity. But let me go one step further, beloved. It's not only an exceeding happiness for you for all of eternity. It's an exceeding happiness for you today. Today. He wants you to experience this joy and this glorious happiness and love today in your life with him. It's an exceeding happiness, and it's yours. It's a promise of God. Fifthly, I see something else concerning the reason why these promises are exceedingly great and precious. Because these promises offer an exceeding power for holy living. Look, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. These promises offer you and I an exceeding power for holy living. Look with me here in Ephesians chapter number 1. Drop down with me to verse 18. Paul is praying for the believers at the church at Ephesus. Watch what he says. Watch what his praise for them. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I want to call your attention to verse 19, beloved, because he says it's not just some lame power, but he says it's an exceeding mighty power. Look at that, verse 19. According, he says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? To who?
Us who
believe. Beloved, I got good news for you this morning. The power of God is yours and yours and yours. Whatever obstacle you're facing, whatever enemy's coming against you, in Jesus' name, come against it. Because you've got the power of God in you. greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. First of all, this morning, beloved, I see that these promises are exceedingly great and precious. From the Guinness Book of World Records, the world's largest pearl weighed 14 pounds, 2 ounces. That's about yay big, amen? That's like a bowling ball. Listen, the Pearl of Laotse, it was called. It was discovered in Palawan, Philippines, in May of 1934, inside the shell of a giant clam. However, pearls in heaven are so big that they make giant gates out of them. Why? Because they're exceeding great. Like God's precious promises, they're exceeding great. Amen. Secondly, this morning, not only are these promises exceeding great and precious, but notice secondly the design and the purpose for which these promises are given. Back to our text in 2 Peter chapter 1. What is the design, the purpose for which these promises are given? Verse 4 tells us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that is, so that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Did you hear what the apostle just said? The reason God gives us these incredible great promises is so that you and I can become partakers of his divine nature. What's that mean? It means you become like God. You become godlike. You become godly. That's what godlike means. Amen? We might be partakers, co-heirs of the divine nature of God. Look with me in 1 John. Hold your place and flip forward a couple pages. You'll be there. 1 John chapter 4. I'm so glad that you and I have a new nature. It's called a divine nature. That is the Spirit of Christ in you. Amen? I'm not what I once was. I'm a new creature. That is a new creation of God. That's what you are, Christian. You are a new creation of God. Look at it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth where? In him. And he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Beloved, I've got good news this morning. God is in you. God is in you. You've been born of the Spirit of God, and he is now residing in you as his living temple. You have been made a partaker of the divine nature because something in you is divine. Isn't that good? Oh, I love this. I told you, it had to come out today. I've been thinking about this all week long. But this divine nature, the very nature of God. Listen, God does not only intend to save us from destruction, but he designs a plan for our everlasting happiness. But listen to me. Holiness is essential to happiness. And we, in this life, are not able to enjoy his presence if we do not presently bear his image. This is his design. This is his plan. This is his purpose for giving us his divine nature through these exceeding great and precious promises, that we might experience the joy of the Lord, partaking of his nature now in this life. And then forevermore in eternity future. Amen? We're studying the eternal order on Sunday nights. And it's going to be glorious. But I'm so thankful for that. But I'm more concerned right now about living for his glory today. Amen? Oh, glory to God, beloved. What a divine design he had in giving us these divine precious promises that we could partake of his nature. Thirdly, finally, this morning, notice, we've seen that these promises are great and precious. We've seen their design, their purpose. But thirdly, finally, let's notice the effects or the results of these promises that these promises will produce. What effects do they produce? Look with me in verse number 4. We have the answer, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped something, the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, Here is the glorious result of receiving these divine promises of God. We escape the corruption of this evil world. Are you listening, church? I'm so glad. See, Bob Oliver, oh, you wouldn't want to know me before October 3rd, 1986. Because I lived for the world. I lived for myself. Me and my buddies used to go drinking and chasing women. Oh yeah, you're a pastor. I'm not what I was anymore. Amen? Why? Because I've escaped. I've escaped that wickedness. I've escaped that old evil sinful lifestyle. I've escaped the world of darkness out there. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to see that you and I have escaped this evil world and the corruption that is in it. And we've done it through the Lord Jesus Christ promising us this divine deliverance. Look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I love the book of 2 Corinthians, in case you can't tell. So much in there. Oh, there's so much in there. We're going to do that verse by verse one of these times. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul writes, by the Holy Ghost, having therefore these promises. Does that fit in with our message or what? Look at this, look what he said. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now here is the result or the effect of receiving these promises. We are cleansed from the filthiness of the flesh, perfecting, that's maturing in holiness. How do we do that? By the Holy Spirit of God. By the Holy Spirit of God is the only way you and I can do that. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. What is the effect? What is the result of receiving these promises? Look at chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Drop down to verse 18. But as God is true, Our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Why, Paul? For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Did you catch it? All of the promises of God in him, Jesus Christ, are yea. That's positive. Amen. That's glorious. That's true. Where can a person obtain these promises? Look at verse 20. I'm so glad you asked. Where can you receive these promises, world? This is what the world needs to know. For all the promises of God in him. In him. Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. The Son of God. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you. All of the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God. Folks, if you want to receive the exceeding great and precious promises of God, you've got to go to the source. And the source is his Son. You can't get it from Buddha. You can't get it from Muhammad. You can't get it from Allah or Hare Krishna or any of the cults or the occult. You can only get it from Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. The promises of God are to be found in him and him alone. And when we receive them, we escape the corruption of the world. We escape the bondage of the devil. We escape the penalty of sin. We escape the allurements of the flesh. We escape it all through the promises of God that are in Jesus Christ our Lord. In closing, let me give you this, beloved, and I'll be done. How highly privileged are we as God's people? Whatever we need, God promises to provide, Jehovah Jireh. And God has sworn with an oath to keep his promises to you and I. Hebrews 6:17 says, because he could swear by none greater, he sware by himself. You ever hear somebody say, I swear to God. Well, God doesn't do that. He says, I swear by myself. Amen. He says, if there's anybody greater, I'd swear by them, but there's none greater than me, so I swear by myself. Watch what he says. God, he could swear by none greater, he swear by himself. So we can say with Solomon, 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord that hath given us rest according to all that he had promised. Listen, there hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Solomon said, not one promise has failed. He's kept them all. Amen? Let us therefore treasure up his promises in our hearts, beloved. And in due season shall that most precious of all promises be fulfilled. John 12:26, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Glory to God. That promise is going to be fulfilled because there shall his servants be. One of these days, real soon. G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher, once said, I believe all the promises of God enough to venture my eternal soul upon them. And he did. Did you know that there are 8,810 promises in the entire Bible? Deuteronomy 28 alone contains 133 promises, more than any other chapter of the Bible. Vance Havner says we're sitting on the premises when we ought to be standing on the promises of God. Did you know that the rainbow is a symbol of God's promise?
Yeah.
In Genesis 9:15, God said, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a promise between me and the earth. Listen, and I will remember my promise, and there shall be no more flood upon the earth. Did you know that no two people have ever seen the exact same rainbow? Scientists tell us that from every angle, even if only inches apart, there is a unique individual view of that rainbow. You know what that tells me? That God's promises are unique for every individual personally. Adoniram Judson, the great missionary, labored diligently for 6 years in Burma before baptizing his first convert. But 3 years prior to that, he was asked, what evidence you have for your mission to be successful? Adoniram Judson turned to the man and replied, as much as there is a God who fulfills all of his promises, that's my evidence. And he won a ton of souls, amen? Thousands in his day. Beloved, we have the promises of God. All we need to do is believe them and claim them and live by them. My message today is great and precious promises. Father in heaven, how we thank you for 2 Peter chapter 1. How we thank you for the exceeding greatness of the precious promises of the living God that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him alone they can be found and claimed. Lord, I thank you that it is by faith we receive these promises. We don't purchase them. We don't pay for them. We don't earn them, deserve them, or merit them. They're the free gift of God. Eternal life. The precious gift of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that our future is nothing but glorious. But our present is just as glorious as we daily claim these exceeding great and precious promises of God. And I thank you, Lord, that we have a church full of people here that do just that. We love you, Lord. We love your word. We love your promises. And we bank upon them. We believe them and we claim them as a church family. We thank you for them, Father. So good to call you Father. Knowing that we are your sons and daughters, and any good father provides for his children. And oh, how much greater do you provide our every need. Thank you for your promises, Lord. But most of all, we thank you this morning for the greatest promise of all. You love us. You love us unconditionally. You'll never stop loving us. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to become one of us and die for our sins. We love you too, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, church. Let's rise and let's grab our hymnals this morning for a closing hymn. And let's open up our hymnals to 134. We'll stand and we'll sing first and second of 134, here's what we have. Blessed assurance. Amen? Yeah. Blessed assurance is what we have. Fanny Crosby, born blind, yet wrote, boy, could she see spiritually. That gal could really see the Lord. And let's sing the first and the second here of 134. Praise the Lord. Sing it like you mean. Thank you, Lord.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, God of hosts, the glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His in His blood. Amen. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just ask, no one looking around, what is it this week? What is it in your life right now that you need one of God's promises to fulfill, to take care of some problem? With an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand. And I see that hand and that hand. Hands are up. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is, I've got good news, beloved. He has a promise just for you. And He's going to take care of that situation because He promises to. Heavenly Father, thank You for these uplifted hands, Father God. You see their hearts and You know their need. And I'm thankful, Lord, that right now they are claiming promises from Your Word to fulfill that need. Whatever it might be, You're going to take care of it, Lord, because You promise to take care of Your children. I thank You so much that we serve the living God and we can claim every promise of the Bible for our own selves. Thank You, Jesus. We love You and we praise You for taking care of our every need. And Lord, we ask You to help us this week to share this good news with somebody that needs a promise fulfilled. Somebody that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody that needs their sins forgiven. Somebody that's got cancer. Somebody that's sick. Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody had an accident. That they would find the answer in one of the promises of God through the Son of God, Paul said, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that He is the answer to our every need. We love you for it this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. But tonight, folks, we'll see you at 6 o'clock if you can make it. It's going to be real good tonight.